So what if I told you your sleepers are the most important players for you to draft? Even more important than your early round picks. Would you believe me? Stick around and I'll explain to you exactly why. So before we get started, I need you to treat that like button like a dime and smash it. Alright, so this video is going to be a very fun one. Your sleepers are some of the most important pickups that you make. Even if you screw up your early round picks, when you have quality sleepers, you can really turn your season around. So this list are players that I think are being drafted way too low for the value that they present. So Karl-Anthony Towns is the first one on my list with an average pick of 26.5. Now, 26.5, you're talking about a third round player. Is that really somebody you consider a sleeper? Yes, because this is a guy I think has top five potential. So I think people are sleeping on his value. And this guy has the potential to be a top 10 contributor when healthy, and he's going at 26.5. It's always about finding that value, grabbing guys that can give you more value than when you're picking them. So why do I like Karl-Anthony Towns? Well, it's real simple. Last season, even in limited time, he's a guy that averaged almost 21 points per game, over 8 rebounds, got you almost 5 assists from the center position, which is really valuable. You get 2.1 threes per game, 0.7 steals, 0.6 blocks, which is really low. I'm assuming he's going to get that up this season above 1. Turnovers were at 3, but again, this is a guy that's getting you almost 5 assists per game. So 49% from the field, 87% from the free throw line. That is a very solid stat line, and I think it was a down year for him, and I expect a bounce back performance. Karl-Anthony Towns fits a lot of builds, so if you're drafting around that second or third round, you should strongly consider picking him up. He's going to be one of the best centers you're able to pick up in that range. Paul George is another guy that I think has some sleeper appeal, considering he's going at an average pick of almost 31. Yahoo has him projected as being a top 16 player next season, and he's going at an average pick of 31. The issue with Paul George is his health. Will he be healthy enough to return higher value than where you're drafting him? That's a big question mark. Does he have the ability and the skills to do so? Absolutely. When healthy, this is a guy that produces at a top 15, top 20 level. So I'd say there's great value in targeting him. The next guy I want to cover is the second best Nikola in the NBA, and that's Nikola Vucevic. Nikola Vucevic actually gets you a lot of what you get from the other Nikola that we all know. So you're going to get decent scoring, not as good of a scorer as Nikola, but still you're getting 18 to 20 points per game. He's a solid rebounder. Last season had 11 rebounds, 3.2 assists to only 1.7 turnovers. I like that assist to turnover ratio. He hit 1.5 three-pointers per game, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks. Not great, but he's getting you 52% from field goal. He's getting you 83% from the free throw line. That combination of factors makes him a very, very valuable player to target at an average pick of 36. When he gets going, he's a guy that has the ability to produce at an early round valuation. So that, I consider him a bit of a sleeper, and he's already said the window's about to shut on that Chicago Bulls core, so this is the season for him to really bring it. De'Aaron Fox, I also believe, is being criminally underrated and has some sleeper appeal. This is a guy who last year averaged 25 points, 4.2 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 1.6 threes, 1.1 steals, 0.3 blocks, 2.5 turnovers, 51% from the field, and 78% from the free throw line. So why do I like De'Aaron Fox? He's contributing across the board, and the only area in which he's kind of hurting you, he's not getting you many blocks per game, but he's a point guard eligible player. The other area that he could be better at is the free throw percentage at 78% for a point guard that gets volume free throws. That's not amazing, but with proper drafting, it's nothing that you can't overcome. Not only is he still a young player, we saw a big leap from him last year. Not only did the Sacramento Kings beat all expectations last year, some people considered him an MVP candidate. I think he's going to build on that and have a very strong season. So for an average pick of 39, that seems really low to me. And I have to say, he is a sleeper. Darius Garland is another guy that fell a bit. He had a pretty good season last year, but he did not meet the lofty expectations that we had set for him. He's projected to be in the top 24, but it is going at an average pick of 40.5. Last season averaged 21.6 points, 2.7 rebounds, 7.8 assists, 2.4 threes, 1.2 steals, 0.1 blocks, 2.9 turnovers, 46% from the field, and 86% from the free throw line. That's very solid production for a guy that still has a ton of upside. 2.9 turnovers when he's getting you almost 8 assists per game, 2.4 threes, getting you over a steal per game. Both percentages are strong, and again, he can do way better than that. He dealt with some injuries. He started the year with a thumb injury that I think ruined his rhythm for the majority of the season. So Darius Garland is somebody I definitely have my eyes on. OG Anunoby, average pick of 49.1, is projected to be in the top 32. What do I like about OG Anunoby? Last season averaged almost 17 points per game. Got you 5 rebounds per game, 2 assists, 2.1 threes, 1.9 steals, 0.7 blocks per game. Only 2 turnovers per game, so same assist to turnover ratio. Not great, but when the guy's getting you almost 2 steals and over 2 threes per game, and he's shooting 47% from the field and 83% from the free throw line. Really, if you look at that stat line, this is a guy that's contributing in almost every single category for you. Sure, he could get more assists. Sure, maybe he could get less turnovers. But even then, when you have guys in the league getting 3 or 4, you can stomach 2 turnovers when it comes with almost 2 steals and 2 threes per game. Very valuable contributor, in my opinion, qualifies as a sleeper. I expect a very big season from him. Zach LaVine, I think, when healthy, this is a guy that produces almost at the same level as someone like Devin Booker, who's going in the top 25 or 30. Zach LaVine not only gives you a lot of the same production, but he doesn't have as many mouths to feed on the Bulls as Devin Booker has on the Suns. So last season, this guy averaged 24.8 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 2.6 three-pointers made, 0.9 steals, 0.2 blocks, 48% from the field, along with 85% from the free throw line. And if you want to do a comparison, let's look up what you get with Devin Booker. So with Devin Booker, you got slightly more points, slightly more assists, but, you know, the efficiency is better. But this is a guy that's going at an average pick of 16. And you have Zach LaVine going at an average pick of 51.3. So does it make sense to grab Devin Booker at 16 when you could maybe grab Jaren Jackson Jr. Or another high caliber player and then take your chances on someone like Zach LaVine on an average pick of 51.3? I think that may be the route to go. DeAndre Ayton just got traded to the Portland Trail Blazers. He's projected to go in the top 58, though I think with his new team, that projection is sitting pretty low. At an average pick of about 53, last year he averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 0.1 threes, so an area he doesn't help you with, 0.6 steals, 0.8 blocks, 1.8 turnovers, shooting 59% from the field and 76% from the free throw line. We recently heard him say that this year he's going to be dominating. I really like his opportunity on his new team. The Suns had way too many mouths to feed. At best, he was going to do cleanup duty. You have Yusuf Nurkic going to the Suns, and DeAndre Ayton is going to step up into that role that Nurkic had. And Nurkic was a pretty valuable fantasy contributor for a long while in that spot. I think DeAndre Ayton can do some of the same. I think he has some sleeper appeal because at his best, this is a guy that can bring you top 20, 30 values. But he might be worth the gamble depending on what your big man situation is. I really, really like Jalen Williams as a sleeper this season. Average pick of 64.1. He's projected to go in the top 60, but I think he can beat that because as a rookie, the guy averaged 14 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1 3 per game, 1.4 steals, half a block, 1.6 turnovers. So really low turnovers, shot 52% from the field, hit 81% of his free throws as a rookie. So the leap he's going to take in his second year is one that I am very interested to see. I think he's going to outproduce expectations, and he's one of my favorite sleeper targets right now. Cameron Johnson got traded to the Brooklyn Nets last year. So last year he averaged 15.5 points, 4.4 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 2.5 threes, 1.2 steals per game, only getting you 0.9 turnovers. That is incredibly valuable, under 1 turnover per game from this guy. So when you have a guy that's getting you 2 per game in 4 games that week, that's 8 turnovers. This guy's not even getting you to 4 turnovers while giving you 2.5 threes, 1.2 steals, 47% field goal for a guy getting you 2.5 threes per game. That's really valuable production, getting you double-digit scoring, free throw percentage at 84%, and he has a lot of upside to build on the season he had last year. He's still a young player. There's a secure role for him. Average pick of 69.1. He's projected to be in the top 36. He has some sleeper appeal. Franz Wagner, another player I really like for his ability to contribute a little bit across the board. You can see there, really efficient with a 48% field goal percentage, 84% from the free throw line. Averaged 18.6 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.6 three-pointers made. Got you 1 steal per game, only 0.2 blocks. But not really why I'm grabbing someone like him. I really like the ability to hit threes. Hopefully we can see him get above 2, because 1.6 three-pointers made isn't all that much in the modern NBA. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him average over 20 points per game. Devin Vassell projected to go in the top 50. Spurs and got paid handsomely, so that shows they're committed to him as a piece on this team. He's someone that caught my eye as a rookie. The amount of steals he was getting in preseason, and that translated over. But not only does he get you steals, he also gets you three-pointers. 2 statistics I keep harping on because I really value guys that can help me with both. So last season, averaged almost 19 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 2.7 three-pointers made, 1.1 steals, 0.4 blocks, only 1.5 turnovers, 44% from the field, 78% from the free throw line. So there is a lot of upside as far as this guy. If he can improve his field goal percentage and his free throw percentage, if he can continue hitting three-pointers, and if he can continue getting me steals while keeping the turnovers low, this is a guy that I expect to beat out an ADP of only 71.9. What do you think? Anfernee Simons is another guy who may be criminally underrated, especially given the fact that Damian Lillard was traded away. They brought back Drew Holiday, but then Drew Holiday was traded away. They brought Malcolm Brogdon back, but it looks like Malcolm Brogdon is going to be a veteran on that team that's there more to be a leader than to contribute on the court. Anfernee Simons, I think, has a secure role. He's projected to be in the top 19 at an average pick of 74.2. He's averaging 21. Well, he averaged 21.1 points per game last season, along with 2.6 rebounds, 4.1 assists, 3.4 three-pointers made, 0.7 steals, 0.2 blocks, 2.1 turnovers, 44% from the field, along with 89% from the free throw line. It's hard to scoff at that production for a guy being drafted at almost 75. Point guard, shooting guard, eligible player who can get you a ton of threes, can score, and can do it somewhat efficiently. The free throw percentage is almost elite. I like his chances to really help your team. So keep an eye on him around that 75 range. Michael Porter Jr. with an average pick of 79.4. He's projected to go in the top 63. Last year, averaged 17.4 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 three-pointers, 0.6 steals, 0.5 blocks. But he only gets you 1.1 turnovers, shot 48% from the field, 80% from the free throw line. So another guy whose production reminds me a bit of Tobias Harris, except you're getting more threes, less rebounds. There's some trade-offs there. But a glue guy that can chip in with some scoring and do so efficiently. The issue with Michael Porter Jr. is he's been pretty injury prone. He missed time last year. He's dealt with back issues his entire career. So those are some question marks you have to consider if you are picking him up. But at an average pick of 79.4, another guy that has championship pedigree now, I like his chances to help your team. Another guy with championship pedigree is Chris Middleton at an average pick of 80.4. Last season, averaged 15.1 points, 4.2 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 1.5 three-pointers made, 0.7 steals, 0.2 blocks, 2.2 turnovers, 43% from the field, over 90% from the free throw line. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year, which really hurt his value. I think he's being a little bit underrated. Even with the addition of Dame Lillard, I think Damian is going to stretch the floor. Giannis is going to be a wrecking ball, and I think Chris Middleton is going to eat. I think 15 points per game is realistic, and I can see his efficiency being higher with all the attention you have to draw when you have Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Chris Middleton, he does come with some injury risk. He is getting a little bit older. But this is a guy who is a staple of fantasy basketball success as recently as 2 years ago. I expect a decent comeback from him. Let it be known, I am a Bucks fan, as you can tell by my hat, so I'm very biased when it comes to my Bucks. But I think my take, I think it's a fair one. Tyus Jones is going at an average pick of 83.2. He's projected to be in the top 56. So last year averaged 10.3 points, 2.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.5 threes, 1 steal per game, only 0.1 blocks, but only 0.9 turnovers for a guy that got you 5.2 assists. That's an insane assist to turnover ratio, okay? So for every 5+ assists he got you under 1 turnover. That is hard to beat. Field goal percentage, leave something to be desired at only 44%. Free throw percentage at 80%. Tyus Jones, if you've been watching this channel for, I've always preached the importance of assist to turnover ratios, and Tyus Jones was one of my go-to players in that regard. He is now with the Washington Wizards, and I think he's going to have a much better opportunity to produce than he did with the Grizzlies. The issue was when he was with the Grizzlies, he played behind Ja Morant. He only ever really stepped up if there were an injury to Ja Morant or some of the other guards on the team. And when he played, he produced really nice stats. He got you a lot of assists. He can get you some threes. He could get you some steals. I'm very excited for his potential. I think at an average pick of 83, and I can see him dropping below that because he doesn't have much name value. And unfortunately, people don't place that much value on assist to turnover ratio the way that I do. Terry Rozier is projected to be a top 45 player. Last year averaged 21.1 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2.6 threes, 1.2 steals, 0.3 blocks, 2.1 turnovers, 41% from the field, but comes with 80% from the free throw line, 20+ point per game scorer, got you over 5 assists. Even though he got you 2 turnovers, it's still a pretty decent assist to turnover ratio. So at an average pick of 84, I probably would pick Terry Rozier over Tyus Jones just because he's a guy that can be a potent scorer. Now keep in mind, Miles Bridges should be playing this season, and that would take away touches from Terry Rozier, but LaMelo Ball was pretty injury prone last year, so the opportunity may be there for him to produce. CJ McCollum, another quality point guard you can pick in the 80s. And from what I've seen with these drafts, there's a strong crop of point guards in this 80 range. While in that 60 to 75 range, it's a little thinner. That 50 to 70-ish range is a lot thinner. But in the 80s, you start getting point guards like CJ McCollum, who last year averaged almost 21 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, 5.7 assists, 2.8 threes, 0.9 steals, 0.5 blocks, 2.4 turnovers, only 43% from the field, only 77% from the free throw line, which is lower than I want for a volume scorer, but nothing that you can't work with if you have a smart build, and I think he can be more efficient than that. I expect a bounce back in his efficiency this year. I know he went on a stretch where he kind of tanked both. He did deal with an injury last year. I believe it was an abdomen injury that messed him up. So this season, I expect a bit of a comeback, and I think an average pick of 83 is a very sweet spot to target him. Jabari Smith Jr., average pick of 91.7, projected to be in the top 79. So last season as a rookie, averaged 12.8 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1.5 threes, half a steal, 0.9 blocks, 1.3 turnovers. He really hurt you from the field, only shot 40%, free throw line at 78%. For a big man that's hitting some threes and getting me almost a block, I'll take that free throw percentage. We need to see improvement in the field goal percentage. I think we're going to see that improvement. He's a second-year player now. I really like his chances to outproduce an average pick of 91.7. And now they have Fred VanVleet, who's a great distributor, who's a great playmaker, and is going to get him really strong looks. And Fred VanVleet can stretch the floor as well. So Jabari Smith Jr. and probably one of the biggest sleepers in this range. Robert Williams just got traded to the Portland Trail Blazers. And this is a guy that has the ability to rack up a lot of rebounds and blocks in a hurry. He can also be very efficient from the field. Shot almost 75% last season. He's not going to get you assists, He's not going to turn the ball over much. He's not going to get you threes, and the free throw percentage is pretty low. But his shot blocking potential, and I could see this guy dropping around pick 100. If you need blocks, that new situation might be a favorable one for him, especially if they decide to tank the season. Will him and DeAndre Ayton play together much? That's hard to say. I'm definitely keeping my eyes peeled for preseason basketball to see what rotations they put out there. But still, a guy averaging 1.4 blocks per game and doing so in about 20, 21 minutes per game is very appealing. Jonas Valanciunas is projected to be in the top 97. Last season, averaged 14 points per game, 10.2 rebounds, 1.8 assists, half a three, 0.3 steals, 0.7 blocks, 2 turnovers. So those are areas where he's hurting you. He's getting more turnovers than assists. No threes, no steals, no blocks practically. But really high field goal percentage, really high free throw percentage. I normally grab him when I want to add another tank. As far as field goal percentage, that's going to get me rebounds, it's going to get me points. When I compare him with guys like Nikola Jokic, when I compare him with guys like Nikola Vucevic, they end up stacking and being really hard to beat. Now, you might want to be in a build where you're disregarding three-pointers made, or maybe you're disregarding assists. If you're trying to get threes and assists when you have a guy like this. But if what you want is a guy that can score, rebound, and do so without hurting your free throw percentage, Jonas Valanciunas makes a whole lot of sense. So you people that pick Nikola Jokic, keep an eye on Jonas with an average pick of 94.4. Markel Fultz had a very strong season last year, averaged 14 points, 3.9 rebounds, 5.7 assists, half a three, 1.5 steals, 0.4 blocks, only 2.3 turnovers, 51% from the field, 78% from the free throw line. Love the steals, love the assists, love the assist to turnover ratio, love the efficiency. He's not hitting threes, but he's helping my field goal percentage. The free throw percentage, 78%, considering this guy had a broken shot when he started his career. I will take that. And it looks like he's playing into his potential. I think this guy is a wonderful success story. Had a rough couple of first years. His team gave up on him, got traded to an Orlando Magic team that gave him a chance. And now he's realizing some of that early round potential that he was drafted for. I love him for his ability to get you steals. Very efficient. He can get you assists. He's getting you double digit scoring. 4 rebounds per game is not all that bad, and he seems to have a pretty secure role on that team. So at an average pick of 95, if you value steals and assists, he's a guy you might want to keep an eye on. This next guy I'm going to talk about, I've been drafting for years, and I've had him on several different teams, and I continue targeting him. He keeps sliding down drafts, but I find that he contributes on a yearly basis, and I think we'll find him in a very suitable role if James Harden were to be traded. The guy I'm talking about is Tobias Harris. Projected to be in the top 82, he's going at an average pick of 95. So last year he averaged almost 15 points per game, over 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. All boring production, but he got you 1.7 threes, 0.9 steals, half a block, only 1.2 turnovers per game. Shot 50% from the field, 87% from the free throw line. So a guy I like to pick up to help with my scoring, to help with my threes. The steals and blocks isn't a ton, but he's not hurting my turnovers. He's helping me with some threes, and he's doing so efficiently. I love this guy as a glue player, and the fact that you could grab him at 95, this is a guy that can really smooth out areas where you need improvement. Maybe you pick a couple guys that hurt your field goal percentage or your free throw percentage, but helped your steals and blocks. You can kind of smooth things over by picking up somebody like Tobias Harris. So after missing all of last season with some very egregious allegations, a guy that was on the cusp of being maxed out is finally returning this season, and I'm interested to see what he can do for your fantasy basketball team. That guy, of course, is Miles Bridges. He's projected to be in the top 68 at an average pick of 97.8. Miles Bridges may be a wonderful sleeper for you, because the year before last, he was an early round producer, was averaging over 20 points per game, was rebounding, was doing so efficiently. He was a monster of a player before he kind of was a monster of a human being. He'll be back this season. Interested to see how he produces, but still at an average pick of 97.8, it makes a whole lot of sense to take a chance on him. If the Hornets can play him, you can play him too. Got you almost 9 rebounds per game in limited minutes. Did so with 9 points per game. Field goal percentage of 65%. Free throw percentage of only 61%, which is really low. We got you 0.7 steals, 0.9 blocks, only 1.4 turnovers. Again, this was in limited minutes. I think he's going to have a secure role there. If you're really in need of his rebounding and shot blocking potential at an average pick of 102.3, he's kind of a swing for the fences sort of pickup, but that late in the draft, the risk is much lower. The next guy I want to talk about is John Collins, who was traded to the Utah Jazz. Average pick of 104, he's projected to be a top 89 player, and I think he can beat that projection. So last year, averaged 13 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 13.6 steals, 1 block per game, 1.1 turnovers, did so 50% shooting, 80% from the free throw line. This is a guy who I think is going to be a very nice fit with the Utah Jazz team, and he seemed very disgruntled with the Atlanta Hawks. He's a guy who was in trade rumors on a weekly basis, it seemed like, and based on some of his comments, he may not have enjoyed playing with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. So I think he'll find himself in a better situation. I think he's a nice fit with Lauri Markkanen, Walker Kessler. He gives them some different looks. I'm excited to see how he produces at an average pick of 104 to grab a guy that has the ability to score in double digits, has the ability to get you over a three, has the ability to get you about a block, and can do so efficiently from both field goal percentage and free throw percentage. It makes a lot of sense to target him. The absence of John Collins on the Hawks should open up some opportunity for this young man, Onyeka Okongwu, average pick of 104.5. He's projected to be in the top 78. Last season, we saw him step up in responsibility, and he got you 9.9 points, 7.2 rebounds, an assist. Not really going to hit threes, but he got you 1.3 blocks in pretty limited minutes. Free throw percentage at 78%. So a guy that's getting me 78% from the free throw line, but giving me 1.3 blocks, that is a trade-off I will take, especially when his field goal percentage is that high. He's not helping my threes, but at an average pick of 104.5, I think he's a very sneaky pickup for your team. Keegan Murray, I'm very excited to see him perform next year. So last year as a rookie, averaged 12.2 points, 4.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 2.6 threes, 0.8 steals, half a block per game, only 0.8 turnovers per game, 45% from the field, 76% from the free throw line. I want to see him get his efficiency up 100%. I need to see that improve. But if he can get his field goal and free throw percentage up, which I think is doable, continue hitting a high level of threes for me, get that scoring up above, you know, maybe 14, 15, that production is going to be early round production. And I think he has all the potential in the world to do it. He's a second year player now. He impressed me last year. I traded for him and I won a championship, and he was a big reason why, because he gave me reliable production. He gave me a lot of threes. He wasn't hurting my percentages. He wasn't hurting my turnovers. And I had guys that could give me the areas he wasn't helping me with, such as steals and blocks. So Keegan Murray, keep an eye on him. I expect he's going to beat that at draft position real easy. If you haven't yet, like I told you before, treat that like button like a dime piece at the club. Smash it. Respectfully and consensually, of course. Gary Trent Jr., another guy that's a bit underrated this season, projected to be in the top 54. The fact Fred VanVleet's no longer there is going to open up opportunity for my guy. Last year, averaged 17.4 points, 2.6 rebounds, 1.6 assists. Sure, the assists aren't great, but he's only getting you 0.8 turnovers per game. And he got you 2.5 threes, 1.6 steals, not getting you blocks. The field goal percentage is pretty meh, but really high free throw percentage. I will take the stats in which he's not helping me a great deal, because the stats in which he's helping me are ones that I value. Those threes, those steals, those low turnovers, high free throw percentage, double digit scoring. He's point guard, shooting guard eligible. If you have a punt assist build, Gary Trent Jr. is a great pickup, especially this late in the draft. Trey Jones with an average pick of 108.1. Last year averaged almost 13 points, 3.6 rebounds, 6.6 assists, 0.7 threes per game, 1.3 steals, 0.1 blocks, 1.6 turnovers, 46% from the field, 86% from the free throw line. He has a pretty secure role on a young San Antonio Spurs team. They have Wemby now. who should be drawing some attention. I think that could really help his assist numbers. The assist to turnover ratio, very decent. With another year of experience under his belt, this is a guy that has an opportunity to beat an ADP of 108.1. Bobby Portis of my Milwaukee Bucks last year averaged 14.1 points, 9.6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.4 threes, 0.4 steals, 0.2 blocks, only 1.2 turnovers, shot 49% from the field, free throw percentage about average, but for a big man, you could do worse. He's not a big man you grab for his ability to get you steals and blocks. He doesn't really do that. This is a guy you grab because he's going to get you double-digit scoring. He's going to rebound for you, and he's going to get you a decent amount of threes while getting you a high field goal percentage. I've told you guys this before. It's really important to target guys that can get you threes without hurting your field goal percentage. Bobby Portis is one of those players. Mark Williams is going at an average pick of 107.6, and I really like this guy's upside. Last year in limited minutes, averaged 9 points, 7.1 rebounds. Didn't get you any threes, didn't get you many steals. Averaged 1 block per game, 0.9 turnovers, shot 63% from the field, 69% from the free throw line. For the majority of last season, Mason Plumlee was playing those center minutes. And it wasn't until after the All-Star break and the trade deadline that Mark Williams stepped up in minutes and really started to produce and was a beast of a shot blocker. I think people have forgotten that, but Mason Plumlee is gone and Mark Williams is likely penciled in as that starting center. So don't be shocked if this is a guy that averages close to 2 blocks per game and he's going at an average pick of 108. I don't know if I've stressed this enough to you, but blocks per game are one of the hardest categories to find. Steals and blocks are the two hardest categories to find, and ignoring guys that get those for you to target scores or maybe guys that get you assists can be very foolish, because a guy that's getting 2 or 3 blocks per game is the equivalent of a scorer that's getting 25 to 30 points per game. I don't know if that's the exact translation. Somebody can do some research and quote, leave a comment below and let me know. But my point is, don't overvalue scoring. Don't overvalue assists. I think those are the categories you're probably better off punting, because not only is that a smaller pool of players that do those things, because they require usage, everyone is targeting those same players and oftentimes ignoring their efficiency, they're ignoring their turnover. So those should be the areas in which you're strong with. It's a little counterintuitive, but if you want to dominate, that's what you need to do. Jaden McDaniels of the Minnesota Timberwolves continues to impress. He's going at an average pick of 113.4, which is a little low. He's projected to be in the top 98. Last year averaged 12.1 points, 3.9 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 1.4 three-pointers made, 0.9 steals, and 1 block per game. So that's almost three crucial categories, 3 steals and blocks. He's getting you one each. Turnovers only 1.4, field goal percentage 51%, free throw percentage at 73%. Not a huge fan of the free throw percentage, but considering what he's helping me with in blocks and steals and threes, I'm going to take that. So in one of my recent videos, I accidentally said that this guy plays with the Portland Trail Blazers. That was a brain fart. Thanks to the user who called that out. He's with the Suns now. He was part of the trade that brought Damian Lillard to the Bucks. So wanted to make that correction on air. But still, Jusuf Nurkić, I like his potential to help you on a Phoenix Suns team where he's not probably going to get the ball as much as he did with the Blazers, because they have KD, they have Devin Booker, they have Bradley Beal, they have mouths to feed. But I also like that he's a huge body, he's skilled, and he can help that team win. They don't have a ton of big men, and he's a pretty potent big man when he's healthy. The problem is he tends to be a little bit injury prone, so that's something to keep in mind if you do draft him. But still, at an average pick of 113.6, you could do a lot worse. The next player I want to discuss is Ivica Zubac, who last year got you 10.8 points, 9.9 rebounds, 1 assist per game, no threes, barely any steals, but 1.3 blocks, really nice, 1.5 turnovers. Yeah, it's worse than his assists, but he's not getting you a ton of turnovers. Field goal percentage, almost 64%. Free throw percentage, under 70%. Definitely want to see that higher than that. But at an average pick of 116, to get a guy that averaged almost a double-double with over a block per game, I think you could do a lot worse. He does compete with minutes with Mason Plumlee now, but Mason Plumlee is a journeyman. Ivica Zubac, I think, has a higher ceiling, and I think he should have a secure 20 to 25 minutes per game, which is enough for him to be useful to your team. The next guy on my list is Bruce Brown. He's projected to be in the top 74, average pick of 116.7. Last year averaged 11.5 points, 4 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 1.1 threes, 1.1 steals, 0.6 blocks, 1.5 turnovers, 48% from the field, 75% from the free throw line. So an average free throw shooter, still contributes a little bit of everything across the board, even getting you over half a block per game for a guy who's point guard, shooting guard, small forward eligible. He's on the Indiana Pacers now, and it looks like he's going to be a starting player. I expect him to have the ball in his hands. I think he's going to work really well with Tyrese Halliburton. He's a quality glue player that you can pick up pretty late. Average pick of 116.7. I think he can beat that at draft position. So add him to your draft list as a strong sleeper. Zach Collins, average pick of 118.6. He's only projected to be in the top 149, but I think that's pretty low for what this guy can give you. We saw him break out after the All-Star break, after Jakob Poeltl got traded to the Toronto Raptors. He averaged 11.6 points, 6.4 rebounds, almost 3 assists, 0.9 threes, so close to a 3 per game, almost a block per game. The 2 turnovers per game is pretty high given his limited playing time, but he got you 51% from the field, 76% from the free throw line. He's playing next to Wemby now. I think he has a secure role. I like him as a 4th or 5th big. I'd probably want 3 more solid centers, and then he'd be my 4th or 5th big man. If he's your 4th or 5th big man, your center rotation is probably really strong. If he's your 2nd best big man, you probably screwed up at that point in the draft. So make sure you're grabbing your big men. Make sure you're grabbing your point guards early enough before you regret that you did it. That is my tip to you, my friends. Jordan Clarkson, average pick of 119.1, projected to be in the top 110. Last season averaged almost 21 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 2.5 threes, half a steal, 0.2 blocks. Did get you 3 turnovers, which is pretty high. But 44% from the field for a guy getting me 2.5 threes, I will take that. 81% from the free throw line. Very potent points, rebounds, and assist numbers from a guy that you're grabbing this late. Not a steals and blocks guy. The turnovers are a little high. The field goal percentage a little low. But for this late in the draft, that's a lot of upside, especially if you value the scoring, if you value the assist, if you value the threes. Jordan Clarkson makes a lot of sense as a late target. Bojan Bogdanović, average pick of 124.1. Another guy who averaged over 20 points per game that you can grab pretty late. 3.8 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 2.5 three-pointers made. Not getting you a lot of steals, not getting you a lot of blocks, 2.3 turnovers. But he hit 48% from the field, almost 49%, 88% from the free throw line. When you have a guy like Bojan Bogdanović who has the ability to score and do so that efficiently, not only are you getting volume scoring, not only are you getting volume threes, but you have a guy averaging almost 49% from the field, 89% from the free throw line. That fits so many builds. Sure, you want to target guys that are going to help your steals and blocks, but you should be doing that with your earlier picks. And if you're targeting the right big men, blocks is something you should have addressed. If you're targeting the right guards, steals you should have addressed, and then you bring a guy into the fold who's going to add a lot of points and do so efficiently. Because a lot of times late in the draft, when you're grabbing guys that are scorers or maybe getting you assists, they hurt your turnovers. They hurt your efficiency. Yet Bojan is not going to do those things. So that's why he's a target I really like. Another strong target is Kevin Werter of the Sacramento Kings. Average pick of 129.1. Last season averaged over 15 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 2.7 threes, 1.1 steals, 0.3 blocks, only 1.3 turnovers. Shot 48% from the field. The free throw percentage is much too low for a guy who hit almost 3 three-pointers per game and did so at almost 49% shooting. So because of that, I expect an improvement in his free throw percentage. He has a lot of upside. He's still a young player. He has a pretty secure role on that Sacramento Kings team. I like his potential to help you out. So if he's available to you with one of your last picks, he's somebody I would strongly consider. Al Horford is getting up there in age. Average pick of 126.1. The reason I'm telling you to pick up Al Horford, he's a big man who last year hit 2.3 threes and got you a block per game. 47% from the field, only 0.6 turnovers, all right? Only half steal per game, but 3 assists per game from a big man. I am Dominican, very biased for someone like Al Horford, but he's aged like a fine wine, and even though he's not the scorer and rebounder he once was, he's making up for it by getting you some blocks and getting you some threes. So I think he's a bit underrated, and he's playing with Kristaps Porzingis, who's somewhat injury-prone. So if you have Kristaps, Al Horford might be a decent handcuff. And they got rid of Robert Williams, too, so that's one less big man in the running. They're pretty thin on big men outside of Al Horford. Benedict Mathurin, average pick of 128.2, projected to go and be in the top 117. Last year, averaged 16.7 points, 4 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.3 threes, 0.6 steals, 0.2 blocks, 1.9 turnovers. The field goal percentage was low, but got you 82% from the free throw line. He is going to be starting for the Pacers, it looks like, and he has a ton of upside as a big-time scorer. I think he was just scratching the surface his rookie year. I expect him to do a lot better next year. So the opportunity's there. The minutes will be there. He has youth on his side. He has a little bit of experience on his side. I could see him being closer to a 20-point-per-game score, especially if Buddy Hield is traded away by the Indiana Pacers. Another guy who's getting long in the tooth and used to play in college with Al Horford, now they're both old, projected to be in the top 106 in production for next year, but going at an average pick of 130.8 in drafts. Mike Conley last year averaged almost 12 points, 6.7 assists, 2 threes per game, 1.1 steals, 0.2 blocks, only 1.5 turnovers. The field goal percentage is very low, but the free throw percentage is nice. That assist-to-turnover ratio, incredibly juicy. The role should still be pretty secure on that Minnesota Timberwolves team. He brings veteran experience. He's a sure hand. The upside is limited, but if you need the assist, if you need the steals, if you need the threes, while keeping your turnovers low, that late in the draft, I think Mike Conley makes a decent option for you if you're in need of a point guard. Jaden Ivey, average pick of 131.8, is projected to be in the top 120. Last year, averaged 16.3 points, 3.9 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.6 threes, 0.8 steals, 0.2 blocks, 3.2 turnovers, 41% from the field, 74% from the free throw line. So he hurt both your field goal and free throw percentage. That's why his draft position has taken a hit. But he's going to be a second-year player with a year of NBA experience. I think this guy is going to be more efficient, and the team is going to have more pieces to help him out. I think an average pick of 131.8 makes him a pretty dangerous sleeper. Another guy with sleeper potential on the New York Knicks is Emmanuel Quickley, who last year averaged almost 15 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 2.1 three-pointers made, 1 steal, 0.2 blocks, only 1.2 turnovers, 44% from the field, almost 82% from the free throw line. He seems to only get minutes when there's an injury to one of the, you know, someone like Jalen Brunson or RJ Barrett. Will he have a more solid role? That remains to be seen. I think that's why he's going so late in drafts. If he were to get a secure 25 to 30 minutes per game, this ADP would be really low for him. So keep an eye on Emmanuel Quickley. If all the other point guards are off the board and you're towards the end of your draft, he makes some sense for your team. Herbert Jones, at an average pick of 134.5, is projected to be in the top 115. Last year, he dealt with some injuries that limited him, but he averaged 9.8 points, 4.1 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 0.8 threes, 1.6 steals, 0.6 blocks, only 1.3 turnovers, 47% from the field, 76% from the free throw line. When healthy and when given the opportunity, he can best those numbers, and I expect him to do so next year. I really like a guy that can get me that many steals while still contributing to threes, keeping the turnovers low. So he's helping me in areas that I value. If you want a swingman that can get you those steals, that can hit some threes and contribute a little bit across the board and still present some upside this late in the draft, Herbert Jones is a really nice target. So a player in a similar vein is Josh Hart. Josh Hart is a guy that I normally target if I want a guard that can get me some decent assists while still getting me a high level of rebounds, contributing a few threes here and there, can get me some steals, and can keep the turnovers low. He has a high field goal percentage, though the free throw percentage is only at 75%. He could do better there. He's another guy whose role is pretty secure. He's on a team with Tom Thibodeau, who really values defense. And when he has guys that play defense, he gives them all the minutes in the world. So if Josh Hart is getting a consistent 30, 35 minutes per game, I like his potential to beat an average pick of 130.5. We are nearing the end of this list. We still have a few more players to cover that I think can really help your team. Kevon Looney, average pick of 137.9, projected to be in the top 128. Last season averaged 7 points, 9.3 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 0.6 steals, 0.6 blocks, only half a turnover per game for a guy getting you 2.5 assists. Field goal percentage 63%, free throw percentage leaves a lot to be desired. At the end of last season, this guy was rebounding like crazy. This season, Draymond Green has hurt his ankle and will be out for the next few weeks. They now have Chris Paul, who's a guy that makes the game easier for everyone. And I think Kevon Looney could be a main beneficiary of those factors. So if you need a big man to rebound for you, get you a few assists and not hurt your turnovers, and you have your last pick, Kevon Looney may be one for you to consider. PJ Washington is a little difficult for me to read just because of the factor that you have Miles Bridges coming back. You have some other pieces there. I don't know where exactly he's going to fit in. He might be a backup that ends up playing small forward, power forward, and center minutes. In a situation like that, I like his upside to help you because here's another guy that last year got you 2 3-pointers per game, 1.1 blocks per game, did so with low turnovers. The field goal percentage at 44% is decent given the fact that he got me 2 threes per game. The free throw percentage, I want to see higher than that. But again, a guy that got me 2 threes per game along with 1.1 blocks, I really value those categories. So PJ Washington is somebody for you to consider at the very end of your draft. Harrison Barnes surprised a lot of people last year. Averaged 15 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.1 blocks, only one turnover, shot 47% from the field, 84% from the free throw line. That's really nice production, real nice efficiency, some volume scoring for you, getting you some threes. The steals and blocks, not great, but he's not turning the ball over, and I still think there's opportunity for him to produce. It's a few years now where he's going at the very end of the draft, and he still somehow ends up helping your team. So hopefully this year he puts it all together. All right, so for the sake of time, I'm going to rush through the last few sleepers that I have. I went pretty deep into this draft to give you really nice options for you to target. So the next guys I have on my list are Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I like his ability to get you steals, threes, and do so pretty efficiently while keeping the turnovers low. Another guy that's won championships with multiple teams, has a pretty secure role. I value steals, I value threes. That is why I have him on this list with an average pick of 140.6. This is a guy you can grab with one of your very last picks. Derek Lively II is someone who I think the projections are really sleeping on right now, and he's going to crush expectations. This is a guy that's slated to be a starting player for the Dallas Mavericks. He's already been announced as the starter. In college, this guy played 20 minutes per game and averaged over 2 blocks per game. That tells you the potential he has. And we're hearing rave reviews about his preseason, how well he's doing. The words I heard were, he is turning heads. So, if you want to turn heads this season and target a guy late in the draft that has the upside to be what Walker Kessler was last year, I think Derek Lively, of all the rookies, I'm getting a very strong feeling about him. And when I have that strong feeling, last year I had it with Walker Kessler. He ended up producing. I've had it in the past with Tyrese Haliburton in his rookie year. Derek Lively II, I think everything's aligning for him to have a very, very strong season. And not only that, he plays with Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, two guys that are great playmakers. who also draw a ton of defensive attention. So this guy is going to eat. And at an average pick of 143.4, only 11% drafted, he's a really strong sleeper. Alex Caruso should have a secure starting role because Lonzo Ball is missing the majority of the season. He's a guy that can get you a lot of steals, decent blocks for a point guard, keeps the turnovers low. Not a guy that gets you a lot of scoring or assists, but he's somewhat efficient from the free throw line, about average from field goal. But again, 1.5 steals, the ability to get 0.7 blocks, close to a three. If he's your fifth point guard and you're trying to help your steals, that's a scenario where I would target him, but there's probably better options until we see more. He disappointed me last season, so I'm hesitant to put him on this list, but I think the upside is there. Kelly Oubre, he's going to be with the Philadelphia 76ers. He had a strong season last year, averaged over 20 points per game, 1.4 steals, 2.3 threes. Now, his field goal percentage and free throw percentage weren't great, but he only got you 1.3 turnovers. I'm excited to see what his role is going to be on his new team. He's somebody else that I think has a lot of upside to beat that current at draft position of 143. Max Strus, only 4% drafted, but this guy's with a new team. He's with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and from what we're hearing, he's going to be a starter. And as a starter, this guy can hit a ton of threes in a hurry. Even though his field goal percentage last year was poor, he can hit a ton of threes. His free throw percentage, really nice. And the opportunity is going to be there for him to be a starter. So if you're late in the draft, he might be worth a gamble. If not, put him on a watch list. See how the preseason plays out. See if he's getting those starter minutes when the season starts. And he may be one of those guys that ends up flying off of waiver wires. Grant Williams, only 9% drafted. Why I like Grant Williams? Last season, he hit a lot of threes, and he did so pretty efficiently for the majority of the season. He ended up tailing off towards the end, but he hit a surprising amount of threes and did so again pretty efficiently. He doesn't get you many steals. He doesn't get you many blocks, but the Dallas Mavericks paid him, and his role should be bigger than it was on a Celtics team that was loaded with talent. I think he'll have more opportunity to impress, and I could see him improving on his scoring, on his rebounding, on his threes, and hopefully improving on his efficiency. Malik Monk is another guy who was impressive last year in spurts, averaged 13.5 points, 3.9 assists, doesn't get you steals or blocks, but got you almost two threes per game. Free throw percentage was elite, field goal percentage about average, but still, with the amount of threes he got you, I will take that. Caleb Martin, you saw what he did in the playoffs, had a very strong series against Boston, and throughout the year, he's a guy that contributed in threes and steals while keeping turnovers low, 46% from the field, 80% from the free throw line. Caleb Martin has potential to be a strong glue player for your team, so target him with one of your last picks if those categories are appealing to you. Danny Avdija, last season, had stretches where he really helped your team. He averaged 9 points, 6.4 rebounds, 0.9 steals, 0.9 threes. He was very boom or bust, but I think this season with Bradley Beal gone, he's going to have a lot of opportunity to step up and produce. Would I draft him right now? Probably not. I'd want to see how preseason plays out, and I'd look at the start of the season. I don't think this is a guy that's going to be drafted heavily. Put him on a watch list, see if he's able to produce, because when he is producing, he can contribute in so many different areas. Matisse Thybulle, I have him on this list because he's a guy that can get you three steals and blocks in very limited playing time. On a Blazers team that traded away Dame Lillard, he might find himself in a secure role. If he does get a secure role, it's not shocking to see him get three steals, 2 to 3 blocks, 2 to 3 three-pointers in a game. And when he's hot, he is hot. He's probably one of the best at getting you those specific categories when he's getting the playing time. He's only 10% drafted right now, so he's being slept on. Keep an eye on him and see what his minutes look like. Grayson Allen got traded to a Phoenix Suns team that has absolutely no depth. I wouldn't be shocked to see this guy starting because he's a good playmaker. He's a good defender. He doesn't need the ball in his hands to be effective. He can shoot. Last season averaged 2 threes per game. Shot over 90% from the free throw line. I don't think it's a coincidence the Suns asked for him in this trade. I can see him carving out a secure role for himself and helping you in some key areas for a guy that's 0% drafted right now. Andrew Nembhard is also 0% drafted, but last year when getting the playing time, got 4.5 assists, hit over a 3 per game, and only 1.7 turnovers. The field goal percentage was average, but for a rookie, I will take that. 79% from the free throw line, it's okay. I would want it to be better, but keep an eye on him this season. If there's any injuries to Tyrese Halliburton or maybe Buddy Hield getting traded, I could see an opportunity for Andrew Nembhard to produce. So 0% drafted, keep an eye on him. Larry Nance Jr., also 0% drafted, is a guy that when getting minutes, produces, but he gets injured a lot and then falls off. He has the ability to get steals in a hurry. He has the ability to get you some blocks. And last season, we saw him hit a couple of threes, not a whole lot. He can be very efficient, very hit or miss as far as the production, very injury prone, but the upside is there for him to help your team if he's getting the minutes. The last player I'm going to put on my list of sleepers is Isaiah Hartenstein. Last year, we saw him get some minutes. He was in a positional battle with Jericho Sims. But when getting the playing time, he would get you rebounds. He would get you blocks. He'd do so with high field goal percentage, low turnovers. The free throw percentage isn't great. He's probably going to be a break in case of emergency kind of center when you've had an injury and you need somebody to step in and give you some traditional big man numbers. I think he should win out and be the starter on that team. He's just more of a sure hand than what you're getting with Jericho Sims. Jericho Sims just has more upside. I'm excited to see what that positional battle looks like. You probably won't end up drafting this guy, but he's someone you should keep an eye on the waiver wire as the season plays out. And if you see him getting 25 to 30 minutes consistently, it might make sense to have him as a fourth or fifth big on your team. All right. That is my video. If you haven't yet, smash that like button for me. Subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops. Check out the new fantasy guide that just came out. It's jam-packed with information to help you dominate your competition. You could buy it right now for $9.99. There is a link in the description. You definitely want to check this out. It's going to give you an edge over the competition. I assure you of it. Thank you so much. This is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for watching.